sermon notes for this morning. They're not going to be on the screen, so you're going to have to pay extra close attention today. You can fill in the blanks as you go, and we're going to begin with a question right under where it says today's message. So the question for the day, do you like family reunions? So if you like family reunions, raise your hand. All right. Some of you do. If you think family reunions are either boring or kind of awkward, raise your hand. Some of you do. Well, I would have to say that I fall more into the latter category. And probably because of some of the things that happened when I went to very large family reunions when I was a child. One side of the family was very large, and so we would gather, and there'd be about this many people. And I would look around at all these strange faces, kind of like this morning. And I go, I don't know if I know all these people. And as a little kid, that kind of is a little bit scary. We don't know everybody, and it seems like not everyone has even met each other. Some of them I really didn't ever want to meet, and so it was a little bit scary. But there was one time that I remember very vividly. I was probably about 15 or 16 years old, so I was at the stage where I was beginning to notice girls. And I looked, and here at the reunion was a girl that I didn't remember seeing before. She was very cute. She had long, dark hair and a beautiful smile. And I thought, I need to meet her. And so I ambled over. Hi. I'm Larry. Not to be confused with my twin brother, Terry. And so we struck up this little conversation, and we learned a few things about each other, and I discovered that she went to a neighboring Lutheran church down the road. And I thought, wow, we've got a youth event coming up, a hayride the next weekend. I could ask her out. I mean, God is good. She's not only beautiful, but she's Lutheran. I mean, how good is that, right? Well, unfortunately, I got cold feet. I was too nervous. The time wasn't quite right, so I never asked her. And I was really glad that I didn't, because right after the reunion, I was talking to my twin brother, and I had told her about this cute girl that I had met and how I wanted to ask her out to the hayride, and he said, you can't do that. Well, why not? He said, that would be a mortal sin. I go, what? He says, you can't date your relative. So I was really grateful for that, but you can imagine how disappointed, surprised, even angry that I was when we went to the hayride, and there was the cute girl with my brother. And I'm thinking, how come he can commit a mortal sin and I can't? It doesn't make sense. Well, God is good. Because you see, it turned out she was like a fourth cousin twice removed or something like that. And in Missouri, you can date those people. Yeah. You can even marry them. And my brother did. And today he has 4 beautiful grown-up daughters and 5 wonderful grandchildren. So, I still, however, don't really like family reunions all that much. Now when I go as an adult, because I'm a pastor, whenever the meal comes up, hey, you pray, you're the pastor, right? And I'm thinking, doesn't anybody in this family know how to pray? We've got to teach these Lutherans how to pray a little better. Well, this summer we are going to talk about families for about 12 weeks. We're going to talk about your family at home, those that live under the same roof. And we're going to talk about God's extended family. And we're going to begin this morning as we take a look at the Gospel of Mark. But we need to know the context. As always, we need to know the background. So as we look at Jesus in this whole scenario, in the chapter before, Jesus is accused of having an evil spirit, of having a demon. Because he was healing people and he was driving out demons. And the scribes said, the only reason you can do that is because you have a demon yourself. And evidently his family believed that as well. Because here they are in Mark chapter 3, And they are seeking out Jesus to remove him from this crowd where he is teaching and healing people because they're really worried about him. Now, if you look at your notes, there are two major points that we want to review today. The first is Jesus redefines the meaning of family. It's not what it used to be. And Jesus widens the family circle. So it seems like Jesus didn't get along very well with his family because of these infamous words when he says, "Who is my mother and my brothers?" Now, can you imagine mothers? How many mothers do we have here? Lots of mothers. Can you imagine if your children came up to you, these children whose diapers you've changed, you made their formula, you fed them all these years, even after hours, you got them a late night snack, you tuck them in at night, you get their books ready for school, you help them with the homework, you do their laundry, you send them off on the bus, all of these things, and they said, "I don't know who my mother is." I mean, that would really hurt, wouldn't it? Or if you've been close as a family and someone says, "Who are my brothers?" So it seems like maybe Jesus didn't get along all that well with his family. Well, let me ask you, do you ever have misunderstandings in your family? Uh-huh. Do you ever have disagreements? It happens, doesn't it? Even arguments from time to time. And families can even get to the point where they won't talk to each other anymore. And now it sounds like Jesus is disavowing his family with this quote, but that is not the case. What he is saying is this, and this is in your notes as well. He says the family of God takes precedence over all other human ties. That's the point. God always says that our human family, our biological family, the family that we grow up with, the family that lives together, even after they move out, they are always important. But his family, the one that ties us to the cross of Jesus Christ and to our Heavenly Father, that's the most important. And then he also says that God's family includes every single human being. All are invited to the family without regard to status or age or sex or color or any other condition. Everyone can be a part of God's family. Let's just take a little survey here this morning. How many of you came to faith as a baby? How many were baptized as a baby? A lot of you. So was I. Okay, so you're included in God's family, obviously. How many of you came to faith later in life, either as a child or as an adult? A lot of you. And you are a part of God's family just as much as those who have been their whole life. Now, later on in our worship service today, we are going to welcome new members to Emmanuel's family. Raise your hand if you're going to be a new member today. Okay? A lot of you. Now, raise your hand if you have been a member of Emmanuel, not of God's family, but of this, not just of God's family, but right here at Emmanuel your whole life. Raise your hand. A lot of you. And then there's a lot of us who have come somewhere in between, right? But we're all part of God's family. We are all included regardless of when and how we came. Now, next Sunday, I have exciting news. We are going to baptize an adult. Now, I love infant baptisms. I love the little babies. They're a lot easier to carry than the old, you know, the adults. I like that. Love the babies, but I really love the adults. There's a miracle every time anyone comes into God's family, but especially when people come later in life as an adult. So God's new kingdom brings into being a new set of relationships. We need to understand a little bit about the culture of those days. In Jewish culture, still today, biological family and ethnicity means everything. You all know the fourth commandment, what? Honor your father and your mother, right? They take that very, very, very seriously. And so now there are all kinds of families who are being split up, broken apart, because they are following this renegade rabbi from Nazareth. And you can imagine the divisions that this is causing in families. It's going against all tradition and the religion that many of them grew up in. And so people are ostracized or even being punished by their family. And so they are now coming to Jesus in this new relationship where they are included in the kingdom of God. And so everyone who enters now is what? Jesus' brother or his sister. And he is all of our brother as well. So every single person is invited, and the only folks that are outside are those who choose to be. Because everyone is invited, and the only ones on the outside are there because that is their choice. So Jesus redefines the meaning of family. Human ties are important, but our tie to Jesus and the cross and our Heavenly Father is the most important. And then he widens this circle. Paul wrote, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female, but you are all one in Christ Jesus." And so in the church, we are thrown together with all sorts of people. So let me give you an example. How many of you were watching the Cubs game yesterday? Anybody? Several of you. How many of you heard about Kyle Schwarber, who was hitting about, what, I don't know, .165, something like that, and hit a grand slam, right? You hear about that? How many of you, when you heard about that, were cheering? Raise your hand. How many of you were moaning? I was. Kind of ironic that a Cardinals fan is leading the Cubs flock here, isn't it? Yeah. A couple Sox fan out there as well. But we're all thrown together, aren't we? Regardless of our background, our status, where we have come from, we're all together. It's kind of like at a wedding, isn't it? Anybody been to a wedding lately? No? Some of you? I've got 4 weddings coming up in the month of June. You know, in the old days, you remember how it was when you entered the church? The usher would say, "Bride or groom," right? "Bride or groom," "Bride or groom." That's, I don't know if ushers can talk. I mean, "Bride or groom," that's all they say. And so if you were related to the bride, you sit on this side. If you're related to the groom, you sit on that side. Now it's kind of all mixed up. But there was one thing that tied everybody together. I mean, you may not even like the people who are next to you, right? But you are all tied together at a wedding because of the bride or the groom. And so in the church, we are all bound together because of our love for the groom, right? Because of our love for Jesus Christ and his love for us. Does anybody remember the old bumper sticker? I haven't seen this for quite a while. That said, "I found it." Do you remember that one? It was a religious bumper sticker. What it meant was that the driver was testifying to everyone who saw it that he had found Jesus Christ. "I found it." Now, there's several things wrong with that bumper sticker theologically. You know, "I found it." I mean, Jesus isn't an it. And I don't recall that he was lost either. We're the ones who are lost, right? We're the ones who stray. We're the ones who wander. Jesus has found us, or he has retrieved us as wandering sheep. But also there is this theological forgetfulness in that little statement. Those of you earlier that I asked if you were baptized as infants, raise your hands again. Okay, did you come to church as a baby on your own? Of course not. When you were 3 years old or 4 or 5 or whenever you started Sunday school, how many of you drove yourselves to church? Anybody? You know, we don't usually let the 4 or 5-year-olds drive. Except in my family we did. You've already heard about that. But don't usually do that. You were brought by someone. And so the Bible says, the New Testament says, there are no unattached Christians. We're all a part of the body of Christ, every single one of us. None of us found Jesus, came to faith on our own. Someone brought us, or we had an instrumental or encouraging person. Or as Luther says, "I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him." It's the Holy Spirit, right? It's the Holy Spirit who's called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified me along with the entire Christian church. None of us are lone rangers. We're all attached. And thank God we're not only attached to his family, but we are attached to his body right here at Emmanuel. What is it that Emmanuel means? Somebody shout it out. What does it mean? Translation? God with us. God with us. So every time we come here to Emmanuel, it means God is with us. It is a mini family reunion every single weekend. So let me close with this. I want to tell you about another family reunion from the Bible. You've heard this one many times before. There were two brothers, you remember them, the older and the younger. And the younger one asked his father for his inheritance, right? And his dad gave it to him. And he went out and he squandered everything that he had. Wild living, prostitutes, the whole works. And now he finds himself eating with pigs. He is sunk down to the lowest level possible. And the Bible says he comes to himself. He comes to his senses. And he thinks, you know, I could go home. And though I wouldn't be a part of the family, I could at least be one of my father's servants. And so he returns home, and when his father sees him coming down the road, what does he do? He runs out and he embraces him. And he puts the ring on his finger to signify that he has been restored and welcomed back to the family. He puts shoes on his feet and in a wonderful robe, and then he says, go kill the fatted calf, it's time for a party. We're having a family reunion. You're all a part of God's family. And you're here today. But look around. Do you notice some of these green empty chairs? Because some of God's family members are missing today, aren't they? Do you know if every one of Emmanuel's members came every week, we couldn't fit all of them in our four services? But wouldn't it be wonderful if all these chairs were filled? And so here is your challenge this week. You all know Emmanuel family members that aren't here on a regular basis. So I want you to call them or text them or visit them and invite them to return home. Because our family is not complete unless all of God's children are present. And it doesn't matter how long anyone has ever been away. It doesn't matter where they've gone or what they've done. They are always, always welcome here. After all, this is where the party happens. Every week, we go to the Lord's table, we have a great feast, and we are reminded that our sins are forgiven, we're encouraged in our faith, and we are welcomed back into our Father's arms. So hey, let's have a reunion, and let's do it every weekend.